I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, tonight's show will be no exception. It'll be jam-packed with information as usual, and we're going to be talking about some amazing new information from Tibetan Pleiadians related to the Matrix and many specifics about the history of the Matrix, as well as we'll be getting into breaking the Matrix code with a focus on the concept of limitation. And as well, we'll be just touching upon the idea of, are the normies waking up? So before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of japa yoga, which is mantra repetition. It always sets the tone for the rest of the show. And that'll be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
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 Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari
Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Hari Hari
Om
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Hari Hari
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari
Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari
Om Hari Om Hari
Om
Om Hari Om Hari
Om
Om Hari Hari Hari
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om
Om Hari Hari Hari
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Hari Om
Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Hari Om
Thank you.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, one of my chief spiritual teachers, along with Sri Ramana Maharshi and Paramahansa Yogananda. And that was a clip from back in the 1970s. I usually like to take a moment to give my thanks, appreciation, and gratitude to the ET Yoga listening audience just for being you. It's nice to know that there's a faction of the population out there that can relate to the frequency level of the ET Yoga program. And I would like to extend to you an offer to contact me concerning any questions you may have about tonight's program or any other program presented on ET Yoga, as well as offer your suggestions concerning program content. And nothing makes my day more than hearing about your successes, utilizing concepts, ideas, and techniques that you hear on this program. And you can contact me at paperfungo, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. That's paperfungo, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is presented as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, you should know that for a long time, I don't know how many years, but probably a decade, I've been applauding your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical, big pharma, mainstream media, and technology, actually, to the best of your ability, given your particular circumstances. And I won't go into detail on the reasons for that in tonight's program, because I don't think there'll be time for that. But rest assured, I do applaud your efforts in that regard. Now, I guess we'll start off with a little bit of information concerning are the normies waking up? Because there was an interview I heard of the Health Ranger interviewed Greg Hunter of USA Today in the last month. And I know that Greg was asking the question, what about when the normies wake up, and what will be their reaction when they find out that they've been injected with a self-assembling nanotechnology that contains an electromagnetic device that edits their DNA? And I guess it's it is mind-boggling when you think about it. Apparently, 5.7 billion people have been jabbed now. And what about when they wake up? Well, there are some signs that's starting to happen. And recently heard some information that stated that previously 60% of the people took the booster. And now, the current booster, so far only 2%. Gee, I wonder why that is. Do you think people are waking up? They just starting to realize that they don't quite feel the same? Is it because of side effects? Don't know the answer to that question. But I do know it looks like a sign in the right direction. And also Zero Hedge in the last month. they printed a story somewhat similar about the normies waking up. And I highly suggest you check that out because it's got some mind-boggling information in there concerning other areas that the normies might be waking up to as well. So check that out at Zero Hedge. And related to this topic, of course, are the normies waking up? I guess it relates to the whole world situation. The approaching, what I would call the splitting of the timelines, or you can call it an ascension, but both from extraterrestrial sources and from dark side sources, there appears to be a certain portion of the population that will be moving on to higher dimension, to 5D in particular. And likely the timing of that will occur before too much damage happens on the surface of the planet, which means that we're going to be experiencing, and each of us in our own way, a splitting of the timelines. Now, we had a merging of the timelines, which is commonly known as the Mandela effect. And the Mandela effect is not what is postulated out there in the mainstream and defined on Google as large portions of the population misremembering the past. It's not that they were misremembering the past. They were remembering a past that did occur on a parallel timeline, which is now merged with this one. This one being the dominant timeline, but there's still residual evidence of the old timeline. And it's my opinion that part of the reason for the merging of that timeline was to transfer consciousness that had possibilities of the ascension before there was a catastrophic event that took place there, either through a negative solar flash or through global war. And there are approximately, as far as I've been told, five parallel reality Earths, and we have a version of ourselves on each of these. And the one that was closest to the Earth, this Earth in frequency, as I understand it, was about 2% different. And if there was a catastrophic occurrence on the old timeline, somewhere around 2012, wouldn't surprise me if we're vastly approaching another catastrophic event in this timeline. And of course, it doesn't take much imagination to see the current news out there, what's happening around the world related to the buildup of military armaments, etc. So I think this all sort of ties together, and more and more information is coming forward, and my hope would be that more and more normies are, so to speak, waking up. I'd like to now move on to the topic about the Matrix, because the Matrix is a pretty fascinating subject, in my opinion, and should be probably in everybody's opinion, because more and more science now has come out, and actually, three physicists got the Nobel Prize in Science this year for proving that there's no objective reality. You can check that out, actually, and find it on the internet. And interesting that there have been more and more science coming out also demonstrating that we live in a simulation or a matrix. And that simulation is basically a 3D hologram inserted upon a 5D background. And our science, of course, is more or less debating, you know, whether we are in a simulation or not, but not touching upon the ideas of who may have created that simulation, why they created it, when they created it, and who it was created for. That's kind of information that I don't mind passing on to you. Now, recently, Ishmael Peres, if you don't know about Ishmael Peres, I highly recommend you check him out. He's got some interesting videos out there, and he has a new book out, Our Extraterrestrial History. It's actually the title of it, it's Our Cosmic Origins, but it's primarily about our extraterrestrial history and past. And actually, I had Ishmael on ET Yoga a few months back, and you can check that out in the archives. And by the way, that's a free service. You can always go to BBS Radio, ET Yoga. When you get to that page, you just scroll down to, you find archives, click on the archives, and you'll go to all the programs that have been presented for about the last 16 years now. And usually, most of all the current ones are tagged by title. Some of the old ones not. But it's a free service, and a lot of people like to listen to the show at their leisure, especially if certain information is given too fast and they're not able to take notes. And also, as a free service, I do answer questions that people have that email me, and there's no strings attached to any of that, no charges, no follow-up, no anything. It's just a free service. So, basically, related to this whole concept of the Matrix, Ishmael, I did a two-hour special ET Yoga with him on the show. And we definitely concur with, everything we discussed on the show, we did concur about. I have a couple of areas that maybe I diverged from Ishmael, but we didn't cover those topics. Now, related to his most recent information, he stated that Enki created the Matrix. An Enki being an Anunnaki, and in case you're not up to date with the latest Enki-Enlil situation, Enki is considered to be the negative one related to, as in perspective with Earth humans, and Enlil, the good one, where previously people thought it was the other way around. But both Ishmael Peres has come out and stated the correct version, as well as the Tegat and Palladians concur with that result. And the concept here being that this was created about 6,000 years ago. Well, that's partially true. The whole truth is that the Matrix was created about 12,500 years ago by Palladians. And the reason for that was, it was during the time at the end, nearing the end of some galactic wars, and it was created with the intention of trapping the reptilians here on this planet and destroying their technology, but inserting this Matrix, which keeps you basically here on this prison planet, or a prison Matrix, if you so like to call it. And at some point in that process, probably around 6,000 years ago, the dark side took it over and then utilized it to enslave humans here on the planet. So it's a long and winding road that we're living on, and an amazing ride on planet Earth. And so I wanted to bring up the fact that how these two different bits of information can actually fit together, the Palladian version of 12,500 and the more modern information coming from Ishmael. Now, interestingly enough, the Matrix apparently, according to the Tigetan Pleiadians, was also hacked back in the 1960s, making it super dark and dense, making escaping nearly impossible. And they also hacked the reincarnation program, or the ether fence that surrounds the Earth. Now, I'm not going to go into detail about that on tonight's program, but I will mention that, yes, there have been several sources out there. Alex Collier, for one, and the Penrose Papers. There have been several sources of information that have come out concerning what's commonly known as the soul trap. And yeah, there is a soul trap, you know. So actually, I have, if you go back in the ET Yoga archives, you'll find in the past several months, there are some shows that are related to the death, the dying process, and what happens after. And I would suggest you check that out, because in the last year or two, I've learned more about that process than I really care to know about. But the truth is that there's a lot going on after you die, like fun just begins. So I would suggest you check that out. So the information here, you know, being that essentially the Matrix was set up 12,500 years ago. And it's a 3D program that's inserted on top of a 5D background. And basically, the Matrix and this simulation here is no more real than a, let's say, a side program that tries to create a reality creation program with goggles and create a false reality that you experience, because there is no objective reality, basically. You know, there is a consensus reality, and the entire Matrix is not real. But what is real is the experience. So for all practical purposes, you know, it's real. And interestingly, that when this Matrix was set up, reptilian technology was destroyed. And I guess I casually use the word reptilian, kind of assuming that most people understand that reptilians have been basically... and / Anunnaki have been basically in control of this planet for the last 12,500 years, gained control of the technology about 6,000 years ago, and for the most part operate in underground bases and control the population from underneath. There's still some are still here. Some never left. And these beings have technology that is capable of doing some amazing things, as well as their own longevity is thousands of years. So they have a huge advantage in that area. And some of their human hybrids, as well as just related bloodlines, are what we would commonly call Illuminati, or whatever term you want to use, to cabal, to use with respect to human appearing people that are connected and are basically in power positions and control. According to the Tigetan Pleiadians, in about 1400 BC, King Akhenaten implemented the monotheistic idea on the Egyptian people, making them forget the polytheistic approach that also included the cult of the goddess. And it came from Aten-Atenism, Ra or Horus. And the monotheistic approach of King Akhenaten is solar worshiping. The Egyptian people, who were very tolerant, by the way, ended up giving Akhenaten a coup, and they expelled the pharaoh and his followers from Egypt. And they walked the desert for 40 years, not knowing where to go. And in Mount Sinai, the king Akhenaten left them while he went up to see his king and made a plan with the remaining reptiles. And Judaism was born, and Moses equals Akhenaten. The next milestone is the full implementation of the Christian theology. The concept is to isolate the people from the divine. The whole New Testament was written under the orders of Rome, and the reptilians and the descendants of the expelled people from Egypt that followed Akhenaten. And it's based on Egyptian and Celtic Druid teachings mostly. The Old Testament is the history of Atlantis, but you must learn how to read it as it is coded. It reads like a fairy tale for the non-initiated, but it takes a new meaning for those who know what to look for. For example, each time you encounter a name in the Old Testament, think more of a race of people and not about an individual. Adam and Eve are not people, but a race of people. Now, the major hack was the implementation of the monster, what they call the Monster of Three Horns. And the Monster of Three Horns is Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. And they are variants of the same lies, just tailored for different people. So, as I've been saying for about 10 years or so on ET Yoga, all the religions were created by Anunnaki. Okay, and here, this is Tigetan giving the specifics. And they, according to the Tigetan Pleiadians, they also implemented another three-horned monster 200 to 300 years ago. First is the Vatican, and that's religious control of the people. Washington, the military control over people. And London, the financial control over people. And they have a global system of control with all governments as puppets, and where the people believe entirely what the people believe entirely. They basically control everybody's belief in that area. The most important hack in general is to be able to implement a complete false reality based on imposed ideas of how everything works, and this leading the people to manifesting for them the matrix reality, and that's the one the negatives want. And there's a question is, well, what, they can't manifest it themselves? They don't have the same mental power? And according to the Tigetan Pleiadians, they can do that, but if they do so, the people would be free, and they wouldn't be able to exploit them for for energy and food, because we are being exploited as a food source as well, and so are our children. And they are manifesting a reality when they are the lords and the people serve them in every possible way. In fact, even after death, they exploit and manipulate them. They intercept them in the astral and give negative life reviews and reincarnate them. They don't go back to source. And that's what I'm talking about, as I mentioned previously, about the soul trap. So there is, definitely there is a soul trap. And to my way of thinking, the plan A is to be on the timeline split that goes to 5D. And the frequency that attracts you to that is unconditional love. I mean, it's the highest frequencies anyway. It's basically who we are. It's the unconditional love. In fact, there's only two objective facts. One is that the universe was created from unconditional love. And second, that you have awareness. Everything else basically is a subjective opinion, including your personality, your ego, anything you identify with is just another place to be stuck and has no objective reality. And according to the Tigetans, the idea that you are helpless is what maintains the 3D matrix and the reptiles. And apparently, just, you know, your intentions are enough to break this. It's interesting that we actually have so much power. In fact, we're the combination of 22 extraterrestrial species in this galaxy. We were originally created with 12-strand DNA and a 12-chakra system that was fully active. But the last time that the system was fully active was like back in Atlantis. And I would refer people to check out the Atla Ra, who were the high priests of Atlantis, who were definitely like had their full system activated. And since that time, actually, since the, I guess, what you would call, a lot of people would call the flood, that we've actually downgraded from that frequency down to our 3D reality, and some of our DNA basically is just it's just not activated. And it was also our DNA was manipulated, you know, by Anunnaki. So they didn't create us. What they did was mess with our DNA. So this is that's a long story, but the bottom line is that we've sort of been going devolving, and now we're in at least a portion of the population will go back to a 5D level. And according to the Tigetans, your thoughts and your feelings, your intentions are read by the matrix. And so this kind of really touches upon the whole concept here about how the matrix works and how it functions. Because in essence, everything that's inside this matrix works on belief, you know, bottom line. And on ET Yoga, we talk about the fact that the foundation of ET Yoga is basically the concept of self-realization. But the building blocks there that we use on this program are basically all centered around belief. And what I found out decades ago was that there's this connection between the valid extraterrestrial information coming to the planet, which is being used on this program, as opposed and connects totally with the teachings of the ancient yogis and current master yogis. And so that information dovetails. And yoga, in the sense that's used on this program, means union of you and your higher self. The yoga that the public thinks about is Hatha Yoga only, which is just a small branch of yoga. In fact, it's a branch of Swami Satchidananda's integral yoga system. Hatha Yoga is one of six branches. So just to clarify that for any new listeners. Now, related to this whole concept of breaking the code of the matrix, turns out that the ultimate truth of reality is the code that breaks the matrix, because what we live in is a reality that's based on certain concepts and rules. And most of it, like I just mentioned, the matrix actually reads your mind, your thoughts, your intentions, your emotions, and then in an amazing way creates a reality for you that's based on that. And the ultimate truths of reality were actually kept in mystery schools for about 2,000 years. And a woman called Jean Hatch actually translated these for the public. And this is probably about close to 10 years ago now. I wrote them down. Sometimes they're difficult to find on the internet, so that's why I bring them up every so often on ET Yoga. And I'm just going to go through those ultimate truths of reality for you as right now. Number one, prime creator or God is all that is. Therefore, I am prime creator expressing itself as me. Two, I'm not striving for perfection as I'm already perfect. What I'm striving for is to remember my perfection. Three, nothing in my reality, nothing can be in my reality unless I create it. Five, everything in my reality is created by my beliefs. That's a biggie. I got it start here on my notes. Everything in my reality is created by my beliefs. This also relates to the concept of reality creation, which I go through in detail and talk about three levels of reality creation. The first one being all those beliefs you downloaded when you were a child, and you see them manifesting in your outer life because you have those beliefs. Beliefs create. Belief and thought create. This is the foundation of almost all the valid extraterrestrial teachings that have come on the planet in the last 50, 60, 70 years, going back to the Seth material, going back to Barbara Marciniak, Bringers of the Dawn. Even Bashar back in 1990 postulated that there is no objective reality. This is not new information for those that have been privy to those books. Like what the scientist physicist discovered this year is not new. It's just that now everybody will, or more people will accept it, even though the population will never hear about it. Number eight, there are no accidents. Nothing happens by chance. Nine, I create 100% of the time. I have the power to choose what I apply that 100% toward creating what I want to energize or what I don't want. And that's related to the concept that when you start focusing on negative ideas, the only thing you do is help manifest them. You need, and there's no point going against the negative, by the way. You create a new positive. That's the path to take. Number 10, I'm the only one there is. I am not divided into parts. Number 11, all events are neutral. There are no negative experiences, although I can choose to define any experience as negative. Therefore, if I'm experiencing negativity in my life, then I have chosen it. And that's a very important postulation there, because events don't come with built-in meanings. We give them meaning and place an emotional spin on those events or circumstances. Number 12, there is only one vibration, which is love. Fear is the illusion of the absence or lack of love. 13, I cannot be in fear unless I believe that whatever I fear has more power than I do. 14, how I feel is a reaction to what I believe. 15, all disease is caused by the denial of negativity within. 16, there are no victims, there are only lessons. 17, I'm the only authority in my life. However, in an attempt to avoid taking responsibility for being that authority, I can choose to falsely believe that someone or something else has power over me. 18, every person, place, or thing of which I have become aware is a mirror and has the potential to be a gift. 19, at any given moment, I'm either giving love or asking for love. Number 20, I am that which I create. And a little bit of focus will be on this last one, which is actually one of my favorites, and that is this. There are no limitations. If I have an experience that I define as a limitation, it is happening as a result of the way I think. The appearance of all limitation is merely an effect of error thinking. God has no limitations, and as an aspect of God, neither do I, unless I believe that I do, in which case I will create the appearance of limitation as a direct result of my belief. Big time lesson related to the whole concept of limitation. And in regard to that, I'll share from some information from Barbara Marciniak's Bringers of the Dawn. And it's basically, it's like this. If something's not being done effortlessly, then forget it. If it looks like too much work, something is telling you that it's not the way. Only when something comes together effortlessly and simply fits with no one doing too much to it, is it right. If you all begin to live like this, you will completely change how the species of consciousness approaches life. It is not irresponsible or a cop-out. It is a new way of carrying bricks from one place to another. One time we talked about a big pile of bricks with a group of people and asked them, how do you move the bricks? And they said, well, you pick them up one by one. And we said, no, one ever thought of hiring someone else to do it? If your assignment is moving bricks from here to there, how are you going to do it? Your first answer may be, well, I will move them. I'll pick them up. However, if you could go call someone up and say, move these bricks for me. If you do that, you're still doing the assignment. You're doing what needs to be done. You think we're going to chastise you if you don't do it yourself? No, you're still getting the job done. You see the difference? Money seems to be an issue with everyone. You all have very definitive beliefs about how money comes to you. The more you believe you must work hard for money, the harder you're going to have to work. Many of you believe it's quite normal to work hard for money, and that if you don't work hard for money, then it's dirty. Let us ask you to remember the word effortless and incorporate it into your vocabulary. Say to yourself, I am effortlessly intending that this come about. To be effortless is to command to reality to bring itself to you in a way that gives room for plenty of energy to be expended in other experimentation. Remember, your reality is a result of your thoughts. If you believe that things are hard, what are you creating? Many of you have spent lifetimes honoring and respecting family members or people of society who you believe are uplifting citizens and who represent to you a certain work ethic and value system. You have not thought to question this work ethic or to see if there was any other way. So you believe that in order to get money, you must expend a great amount of energy or you must be employed by someone who's going to give it to you or whatever. These ideas are completely and totally erroneous. We cannot emphasize that enough. When you are allowing spirit to compensate you, it will compensate you in a variety of unexpected ways. The only reason this has not happened before is that you just haven't believed it was possible. When you believe things are possible, reality changes. State of mind is the name of the game here. We cannot emphasize that to you enough. How you feel about reality and how you program reality is how you're going to respond to it, or how it is going to present itself to you. That is why we say, go for it. Be outrageous. Do what excites you. Do the impossible. You can do it. You can do whatever you want to do. You will transform your world no matter what state the world is in. Remember, when you learn the rules of the game, that you are a result of thought and that this is a law within your universe, all you need to do is think of how you want to be, and you shall be. Once you figure this out, you can design your body, you can design your age, you can fix everything about yourself, because you will be self-motivated, self-empowered, and self-generated. And that's a quote from Bringers of the Dawn, Barbara Marciniak. In my view, one of the two classic books that pretty much I suggest everybody read. This one related to the teachings of the Pleiadians, called Bringers of the Dawn. I call it the basic text for, you know, extraterrestrial exposure. And the other one is Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda in the area of yogic teachings. Those would be my two highest suggestions related to reading content. Another way you can find a lot of great reading content is if you can ever get a hold of the book Be Here Now, Now Be Here by Baba Ram Dass, whose former name was Richard Alpert. He used to be a professor at Harvard University, then went to India and found out the real truths, came back to America, and eventually got fired from Harvard. But in his book, Be Here Now, Now Be Here, at the back are 100 books, what's called the Ram Dass Reading List. And I read about 95 of them. It's all books written by people who were either enlightened, self-realized, or were seriously working on it. And it's an amazing book list, and it's an easy way to go to one spot and find a great list, because I don't know where you'd find one like it. About this time of the program, I usually give my best wishes to the listening audience concerning your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance, and I also share with you the Who Am I technique. And the Who Am I technique was taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi to his close disciples. Baba Ram Dass picked up on it and actually published the technique in a paper called the Georgia Strait. I don't know if it's still in existence or not. It used to be a small newspaper that existed in Vancouver, British Columbia. And after I read the article and did the technique, bang, I had a spiritual experience. So I've been sharing this technique at the end of every ET Yoga program in case you might have a similar experience. So the idea here is to get to the highest place you know how to get to. And that can be by doing asanas and your hatha yoga, your pranayams, a meditation. Get to the highest place that you know how to get to. After you get there, you want to focus your full attention on the center of your forehead and become that spot. And then you can ask the question, who am I? You can do that once or twice or several times, whatever feels comfortable. And after that, then you state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.